liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, the minutes from September 20th were circulated. Were there any additions, corrections, substitutions?
That's right. Move to approve.
I have a motion. Is there a second? Moved and seconded to approve the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Closed. Motion carries. I'd like to welcome up representatives from the Public Health Department to discuss the vacancy of their office manager.
Okay, we must be getting a baby. We must be. Michelle was going to call in. She knew the time that she was on the agenda, and I gave her the phone number. So okay.
Well, Mr. Crago, you had a chance to review their contracts. The first is with the Department of Health, and this is the County Health Officer contract. This is what Dr. Schuler is paid out of. Did you have the chance? You did. This is, I guess, one that we need to approve retroactively because it was due in before we would meet.
That's correct. So both of their contracts were just ratifying today. We approved them as I signed them as the form. They're standard contracts. They're pretty much exactly the same as previous contracts.
Okay. Second contract is $100,000.
Yeah, and that one is a little bit different. That's the crisis response contract. That one may or may not get expended or used, but we're signing it saying if it does, if the state sends the money our way, that we'll follow their rules and regulations in spending that money. But it's not; it is not funded at this time.
Are any questions for Mr. Crago on either of these contracts, commissioners?
No.
Is there a motion to approve the two public health contracts retroactively?
Make a motion we retroactively approve the two public health contracts.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Public comment? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Welcome up next, our emergency management coordinator. We know you have to get to CAF first, so.
And we know you have a whole pocket full of money to tell us about.
I do.
We love you so much.
Two things. We have the Homeland Security grant for the cyber project, which is they approved $14,000 to do a audit that's been approved by Digitech. So it's just a matter of Barry needed to review it. And then once that's happened and the commission approves it, then Vicki can advertise it. And then we can spend it. But there are, so I'm here to ask that you approve the agreement today. And the other thing is there's two more of these. So there's another one for, it's called the Soft Target and Crowd Control Project. And then for, I think it's about almost $6,000. And then the other one is called the Joint Information Center JIC project, and that's about $14,000 too. Those two should be coming down the road here. I received a letter that they've been approved, so we're just waiting on those.
Who will those grants go to? Law enforcement?
The Soft Target Crowd Control Grant will be for City PD. I didn't think they'd approve it, but they did. So it never hurts to try, because you just don't know. But that one will go to PD, and then the other one for the Joint Information Center will go go to emergency management, and the goal is to set up a permanent sort of joint information center. We'll go over here in your conference room, and that can just be set up there. And then when we have a big event, we need to have a place for media to go and to do some press stuff, we can use that area, which I think will work very well. I'm pretty excited about that little project. I think it'll be pretty handy. So then the other thing is I met with Kenny Longfritz, who's the Department of Homeland Security cyber infrastructure person. He is paid by Homeland Security for our state to do risk and vulnerability assessments, and he's the gentleman that came up and did the assessment for the fairgrounds for, they called it Safe Fairs was the project name. So he came up and did an assessment for them and wrote a report. And he came up the, it's been a month or so ago now, and visited with Megan about the lake for cyber things that to do an assessment for the lake. And I said, well, we need to talk to the commissioner before we approve that. And the other thing he offered up, and it's free, and I'm glad the mayor's here because I was going to come and talk to you too. He would like to do, he's offered up free assessment for the county to do a third party assessment on your IT people. So just to make sure that, and it's free. Now, I don't know what you think. And then he offered to do it for the city as well. And I didn't know what the city had, but if you're interested, then I can put you in touch with him and you two can take me out of the middle of it. You two can set a goal. Good. So that's up to you. And I don't know as I need an answer today, but I wanted to, while I was here, put that up for consideration. I don't know whether it's valuable to have a third-party audit on your IT program. It's kind of up to you. So that's all I have this morning.
First, the coordinator is asking for approval of this sub-grant in the amount of $14,000.
Second.
Motion and second to approve the cybersecurity grant in the amount of $14,000. Any discussion or public comment? Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Just one other update. So the generator project for our public-private endeavor, when we put the generators at KBBS, to operate KBBS when the power's out, that project's ready to fire up. The generators are in place and wiring's done. I'm hoping that this winter, if we have to have a power outage, that we can keep the radio station on the air, because that will be very handy for us. So,
are you getting in the mood to make another run for a generator for this building?
I can be put in that mood. But I haven't. I haven't. You know, because I don't think they'll approve it. They didn't approve it last time because it's not this. How. Their comeback was, well, is this really critical? Is this building really critical in a major incident?
Well,
I'd say it might be, but...
Especially if you're going to stage an emergency command center here.
Yeah, so it may be with that might help them reconsider.
Let's do that question.
Okay, so our next grant round of applications should be coming out, November, December maybe? So, we can, doesn't hurt to try.
Does anybody know how much, how big a generator it takes on that building?
Yes, Dave Eads, we put got all that information together when we applied the first time for it. Yeah. So all that information is there, it's just a matter of putting it in the verbiage that they'll think is okay. And it changes from year to year, so I mean, there could be a... it's all based on the national report. Once that FIRA goes through and gets rolled up into the federal realm, then they use those and they come up with their annual gaps across the nation, and then they send out they call them investment justifications that you're more apt to get funded for than not. So, and it changes from year to year, so it's worth a try. All right, anything else for me?
Other than I have these two.
Oh yes, I need those.
Just for you. And I believe our public health nurse has tried to call in, so we can either call her. Joe, do you have a number that we can reach her on?
Thanks.
Or are we going to hope that she'll call again?
I do not have a number for her.
Did Jane give you one?
Jane didn't give me a number. She said that she was trying to call in. Is that number
6529?
6529. Okay.
We'll go ahead and pause the meeting for just a second while we try to get connected with the public health nurse. Is it delivery of a baby?
This is the previous one. It's calling in. Michelle.
Try to call him again.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioners, while we wait for that, I do want to go ahead and deal with Resolution 684. This is the fire ban that was put into place. Fire Warden Pino was across the spring, their chief off the mountain today, couldn't be with us, but he's asked us to go ahead and rescind Resolution 684. This was the partial fire ban that was put into place.
Move to rescind 684.
Second.
There is a motion and a second to rescind Resolution 684, the fire ban. Is there any discussion or concern? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Roden Bridge, we'll go ahead and invite you up and we may say halt.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I bring forth before you today an amendment and a restate cooperative agreement between the Wyoming Department of Transportation and the Joplin County Commissioners. This agreement is for gravel. It's at ARS 3695, District 4. Gravel purchasing. It was first went into this agreement in 2007. The biggest change is the cap, ICAP, which is the indirect cost allocation plan, which is basically is what YDOT charges us for administration fees. So that's the biggest change to this agreement. That goes from about 8% to 11%, which this is way behind because when we did TW Road, that's where we were at, was 11%. This is a very important agreement. I'd like to say not only has it benefited Road and Bridge over the years, this is where the material came for the justice criminal, the new buildings up there. This material that came in for the taxiway and the building pads at the airport. So it's been used pretty broadly across the county in different projects and so forth. The beauty of it, like when we haul out of the Cross H pit, like that's where our sand and for sanding roads and stuff comes from, we just pay the royalty on that, which is 90 cents a ton. And like when we're out of the Pole Creek pit up there, where it's federal, we don't pay royalty on it, so that's a free use deal. We've also taken material out of other pits, like out on Piney Creek when we have the road mill and so forth out there. So like I said, it's a very important agreement, and we've used it as a lot. So I think, did you get to look at it there? Okay, perfect.
Mr. Craig, any concerns on the changes to language?
No, sir. I didn't see anything to be concerned about.
This time they'll run it till September 30th of 24, and then that's when the Federal Highway Administration may adjust that 11%, which if that, I mean, I guess if they adjust it, if we don't like it, we don't like it, but it's still a heck of a deal, so.
Commissioners, what's your pleasure if you have additional questions for Roden Bridge?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the agreement between the Department of Transportation, Wyoming, and Johnson County.
Second.
Got a motion and a second, which would open us up to any public comment or questions for the Road and Bridge Department on the agreement with YDOT for purchase of gravel. Any questions or public comment? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving this agreement, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Okay. Any questions? Or?
I don't have any updates, anything that
you know, I just aware of. Just say, you know, it's been a busy, busy late summer. We had a project we did up on Upper French Creek. We lowered a hill, new cattle guard. We did a monument, the first step on Monument Road, the reconstruction in. We went in and rebuilt the shoulders and got some wrap material in there, which that'll correspond With Upper Frederick, I hope to pave both of those sections next spring. The other thing that's gone on, we just finished a project down off on Hammond Road. We worked with Scott Hogeson and the YDOT crew down there, and we did some big improvements where we come off the old highway onto the county road there. We set the cattle guard back, widened the approach out, helped the cattle trucks quite a bit. All the trucks and stuff that goes in there, that's always been a really tight one to get in. Besides that, like I said, we're out now every possible direction we can be out maintaining roads and getting ready for winter. So that's kind of where we're at. The stripers will start today. Hopefully, if the sun will come out and shine a little bit so the roads dry off, we'll be getting after our striping. Hopefully, most of that will be taken care of. Looks like we got a pretty good window the rest of the week to get that done. So, and we always kind of like the cooler temperatures. I think you get a lot better job. And I like doing it this time of year because then as we go into the plowing season, we have nice fresh lines. So that's kind of where, kind of a nutshell. Like I said, it's been a pretty busy summer and chugging along. So.
Will that take a week to get done?
You know, usually about that by the time they get it. By the time we do about 110 miles by the time it's done. So it just depends on what Mother Nature does and so forth, a little shorter days. So and then that'll pretty much finish up the Klondike clear creek stuff, get the striping done, and then I'll get the reflector poles along the trail going up the hill there, and then that closes that project all out too. So that'll be nice. So another one for the bed. So. Perfect.
How's the Klondike project going?
On?
Well, the...
Crazy Woman Canyon. You know, I know they're behind up there, the Forest Service portion of it. I know they just extended that out. It's been extended a couple times for some more time. I think they've extended it to the 14th of October. I would think they'd be wanting to get it wrapped up pretty quick, but pretty slow. But as far as our stuff, like I said, they had some crews out doing some environmental stuff on our bridge and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of wrapped up. Now we'll go into design on it, and we'll just kind of see how that works and where we can get to there. So I'm still hopeful that maybe we'll get into a 23 construction on that. So we're slated for a 24, but if we get through everything pretty quick, I'm hoping for a 23 because 24 gets pretty, we start stacking up pretty good in 24. So it'd be nice to get that one done and behind us. So, and then today we also had a meeting about the Barnum Road Bridge. We'll do a conference call and get some more information on that and where that's at. So that's definitely moving ahead too. So.
On the Barnum Road Bridge, is there a overlay slated for that Barnum Road section?
No, it is not. It is not. It's on our list of capital projects to be doing down the road, and I'm not for sure, Bob, without looking exactly where that falls. But we're going to get out there here as time allows. I'm hoping open winter we'll be doing some shoulder work and stuff out there. That's where most of that wrap that's in KC is going to go is out there for shoulder work and widening and that and so forth. So that'll be kind of the first stage of that. I like to go in and build those shoulders, and then when we rotomill the top, we got someplace to go with the rotomill. Then when we do the pavement overlift, then we come back in and taper back to the pavement. So that's kind of where that's. But that's, like I said, that's where most of that stuff is stockpiled south of Delbert's down there, and that goes out Barnum way. So, but like I said, if we have a good open winter, we'll probably get a pretty good start down there. So just Mother Nature. So perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. We've been joined by our district ranger, so perfect timing, Dad.
Next up.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for having me. This is the first time I've made it here, so I've probably got quite a bit to cover, and direct me to whatever you're wanting to cover. I'll probably start off Crazy Woman Canyon since we were just talking about that.
Perfect segue.
And then go ahead and let me know, you know, how often you'd like me to come in to keep everybody, you know, informed of what we're working on in the future. I can definitely make it here more often. So, but yeah, Crazy Woman Canyon, it was, Barnum's been working on that, and with the gravel hauling and everything they're supposed to be done, maybe this week with that part of it. That's why we extended our road closure until the end of the, or October 14th. You know, we've been closing it while they're doing that, just so we don't have traffic and the trucks interacting. But hoping to be done with the road closure, they may have a little bit of work to finish after the 14th, but hopefully nothing that needs that road closure extended. We're really hoping that it's done complete by the 14th. Next year, we are looking to replace that bridge where we put the temporary bridge over this year. So that'll be, you know, a shorter time frame, that maybe in 3-4 weeks we got to close things down just at that bridge to get it installed. But this year should be about wrapped up. I haven't driven it to see how it's coming out, but hopefully that'll be done and less of a problem. That was kind of tricky one with the road closures and trying to let people in on the weekends and everything, but nothing too disastrous occurred that I'm aware of. So just kind of want to go over our Buffalo Municipal Watershed project. That planning was done on that several years ago for the municipal watersheds of Buffalo. We had a lot of timber harvest, thinning, some aspen treatment work in there. We're pretty well getting close to done with our timber harvest. They were working on Lynx Park on the Trigger Lake Road. They still have a little bit of work to do in there next year. Got quite a bit of timber cut in there and the road fixed up. But we're close to the finishing up the timber harvest. We got some more thinning to do. We got a big crews in Brush Creek this week and next week, working on finishing up some of the cutting the trees and piling in places that we can't harvest. I think that's in some of the road lists. And then for the most part, that's about done. Our prescribed fire treatments in there. We did one last November. Probably not going to get one in this fall. Maybe next spring would be the earliest that we could get back in there and do some more burning in that. So that project's pretty close to wrapped up. A little more of the aspen treatment. We get a lot of complaints over how that looks because we put a lot of pine trees down on the ground, the conifers, lodge poles, to help reduce the browsing on the aspen. That looks pretty rough right afterwards, but it does help that aspen get up and grow without being eaten. So all that work being done will hopefully, you know, set us up if we do get any bigger fires in this sourdough Clear Creek country, that we can get those shut down with a little more corridors in there, not impact Buffalo's water supply as badly. That's getting wrapped up, and we'll start moving on to our next project. You know, we're not quite to the public scoping, but we're looking at the Pole Creek area, Pole Creek down to Doyle and Poison Creek for our next project. We'll start the environmental analysis, get going on that this winter, finish up our field work, and it'll be 2024, 2025 before that stuff would be getting bid out for timber harvest. The dispersed camping, I think everybody's pretty aware. We had our public meetings. We finished up our 6 public meetings on that topic. Now we're starting to work on the closure order. We got a call today to start thinking about how to word that. That's one where 14-day state limits currently goes till September 30th, starts back up in June. The forest is considering a year-round one, so we'll start conversations on what we want to do there. And then all the rest of the topics, such as the, I know one of the things for us was Highway 16 half-mile buffer, how we would address that or change whether or not we got areas that we want dispersed camping versus areas we don't. And some of the other proposals that have come out, such as sticker program, all that, we're going to start in the middle of the month looking at how the public has come with their comments on that. And then again, with any of these proposals as they move forward, we'd go back out to the public for comment with specific stuff on those. So that's where we're hoping to go this winter, and we won't have everything done and in place next year, but we'll continue to work on that. We've got the invasives and other select plant management EIS. We're continuing to work on that. We're in the objection process, so we had 6 or 7 objections from folks on that we're working through right now, mostly around the sagebrush treatment. Not a whole lot of concern on the invasive treatment, a couple were concerned about potential aerial treatment there. So we'll continue to work with those objections and try to come up with a final record of decision by November that comes out, if we can come to resolution on any of the objection points and and push that out. The 10 sleep climbing management plan, we've not been doing a whole lot on that. We did some inventory over there in 10 sleep this year on the climbing routes. We want to get that finished up. It's going to help develop our program and how we do the climbing management into the future across the forest. I know Crazy Woman Canyon is one that's been asked about in the past, and so if we get something done with 10 sleep, then that'll help set up how we move forward with the rest of the forest, including Crazy Woman Canyon and up into the wilderness and that sort of thing. So I've got a new rec specialist starting hopefully next month or this month, hopefully, to help move that forward. We maybe need some additional information gathered this summer before we finalize. We were hoping to finalize it this winter. It might be next fall before we get that fully out the door. So the hunter fee increase, I know that had been brought up, and I think the comment period ended September 30th, but there is that proposal to increase the fee up there from $10 a day to $22 to make it similar to all the rest of the campgrounds across the forest. We were looking for overwhelming support on that, is how it's phrased, that, and that allows us to go ahead and move forward and push that out so that we can do that next year. So we're finishing up and be analyzing the comments on that as well. Just so you know, we're getting pretty well staffed up here on the district. We filled my position, the range specialist position, with a guy, Colton Rosales. He's from Sheridan, and he's in that position and doing well. Brian Bowden, who's still here in Buffalo, he moved to cover dispersed or rec residences and our rental cabins for the whole forest. And so we're filling his position. That's one that I've got somebody selected and coming in soon. Our support service specialist retired last week, and we actually were able to fill that before she left, and we've got a gal in, Allison Weakland, covering that position. And then we're trying to fill some permanent full-time recreation positions. We've got 3 out of 4 of those, at least, offers out, and working on filling those. So getting pretty staffed up here in the office, and actually some additional positions than what we had in the past. Some decisions at the forest level to fill some additional jobs there. So that's working out well for us. So that's kind of the project stuff. I mean, being new to this position, newer to this position, just let me know some of my vision for the district. I'm really looking forward to having a fully staffed district that's well-trained and able to do the job. When we have holes to fill and people are doing other people's jobs, we kind of get behind and aren't getting things done like we want. Looks like that's coming to fruition here shortly, get our fully staffed anyways, and then make sure everybody's trained. Hoping to make sure that we can work and coordinate across the forest. We have 3 districts, but we work a lot across each other's districts, and we'll continue to do that so our folks help other districts and we get help from others. Open communication of ongoing projects with the communities. That's why I'm here. And like I say, let me know if you want me here once a month, every 2 months, quarterly or something. And you're all more than welcome to give me a call or someone in the office if you've got questions. Lots of partner and volunteer opportunities. We've got more and more volunteers working. We had a volunteer come and help us with a dispersed camping, going out and documenting where people have been and how long they've been there. And we work a lot with, you know, the Johnson County Weed and Pest, the Weed Bounty Program that we've worked with. And we've got a Bighorn Fence Initiative that we're working with a lot of groups, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Mule Deer Foundation, Sheridan Community Land Trust, a lot of groups coming together so that we can help remove some fences that are no longer needed out there and then reconstruct some fences to be more wildlife friendly. Hazleton Road 3 there, we had some blowdown on that recently. That's one fence we're looking at trying to do something to reconstruct that old sheep wire fence. But really, with that, I'd just like to open up for questions. Anybody got wondering about something you'd like to know?
All right, when are you going to move forward on putting the restroom at 10 Sleep Canyon for the climbers?
So we got to get that 10 Sleep climbing management plan and the associated NEPA with it. So that's hopefully we can have that done next fall, the paperwork side of things, and then we're tying in with YDOT to complete the construction of a parking area and a restroom there. So you know, reality 2-3 years down the road before something's in place as far as a permanent vault toilet. But.
And is the backcountry horsemen, are they going to do some more trails up on this side of the mountain or on this end of the mountain?
So, with the Great American Outdoors Act, you know, we're getting lots of funding through these infrastructure acts and Great American Outdoors Act. We had our regional office come and do a plan for Elgin Park Trailhead, and the plan that they're working on drawing up would involve some corrals. It wouldn't be, it'd be more the continue to be designated or dispersed camping. It wouldn't have a campground hosted this time, but we would want to put in some corrals and make it a little more user friendly for horses and that sort of thing. So yeah, once we get that design, then we'll go out with these continued funding requests and try to get the money to construct something like that. Backcountry Horsemen's very aware of that, and we keep them involved in case they want to, you know, participate in either getting some funding to get that done sooner or at least help us to construct it so they can be part of that and put their name on that. So that's the next one on our district.
What about, there's been a lot of discussions, these campers that are just off the road or have moved down the road that are right as you crest, but they can still get Wi-Fi and internet access coverage. And, you know, there was discussion about using the scenic byway and the act and the way it was established with the setbacks for campers from the roads, but any thoughts? Because I think last count I saw about 6 campers. And then if you want to have cows rubbing on your camper while you're up there, just so you can continue to get cell phone service, it's one thing, but certainly I know that's an area we worry about, invasive weeds and just the overall look as people climb out of the canyon and get that first grand look of the bighorns, and then over here is the mini village.
Right. Yeah, 2020 was quite interesting to see that happen, and we didn't really get that shut down right away. So that half-mile buffer that was proposed was, I mean, that discussion's been on because Highway 14 has that. So that would cover all that area if we were to implement the half-mile buffer. If we did a half-mile buffer, what we would have to do to allow some of the camping that's more in the trees and hidden away is then we would have to go through and say, except for this area, this area, this area. I'm kind of wanting to propose that we don't go with a half-mile buffer and make a bunch of exceptions. Instead, we identify the areas that are of concern and just say, no dispersed camping in this area or that area. Grouse Mountain is one area that I'd like to go ahead and see us not have that camping in that area, because it is, especially that first stretch where we have not had it the last 2 years with the Pantanota grass. You know, you do, you crest the mountain and it was a trailer park right there. You know, I went and visited with all the people that were from around the country sitting there, and they were just tickled to death to have that beautiful view, even though they had 15 people around them. So, but yeah, we are looking at that. You know, the Pantanota grass has been there. Looking down the road, it'll be the aesthetics from the highway, scenic highway, that we would want to remove that, because there were so many campers. Some of the other areas, you know, you can get 1 or 3 campers, not near as eye-popping as seeing a big group of campers there like that was. So. Yeah, at this time I'm hoping that we can consider, you know, not having the camping right there just from the scenic byway purposes. And then, yeah, a few areas along the highway that maybe we don't need them for resource reasons or aesthetics as well. So, I don't like the idea of the whole half-mile buffer the whole way, because we would do away with a lot of spots. And we heard that from a lot of people, you know, they don't like us closing roads or removing opportunity. So we don't want to get heavy-handed with that. So. One other thing is Andrew Johnson, our forest supervisor, he got asked to do a detail for the Washington office on the wildfire risk stuff. And so he started this week on that detail for the next 4 to 6 months. We'll be bringing in an acting forest supervisor, the regional forester. We'll select somebody there. So if something comes out and you're starting to see that he didn't leave, he's not gone, it's just a shorter detail. So. Questions?
I'm wondering about enforcement.
We've got quite a few of these plans, but I haven't heard anything about having any more enforcement officers.
Right. So those four permanent recreation positions that we moved forward with hiring, and we've got one on board and then two selected that we're working on paperwork with, and then fully intend to get that fourth person. Those in the past have been seasonal positions, and so we're hoping that with making them permanent, you get that long-term tenure of somebody coming back year after year that understands the rules and can help enforce them. The sticker program, that's the other thing that's proposed out there that we're considering, is the sticker program, which would generate funds to help ensure we can have the money to hire additional people. Honestly, we've had money in the past few years, and we have a hard time hiring at this time. Our jobs or seasonal positions are currently open. It'd be great to get more retirees or school teachers or something like that applying for these jobs, because when you're trying to hire young kids from across the country, half of them don't show up. But, you know, that comes down to prioritization with the people that you do have. We've definitely focused on it pretty heavily this year and got quite a bit of attention. I mean, we had to cite some people, but it was more just the conversations that were had out on the ground helped get people to move in according to the rules. So, yeah, hopefully with those permanent positions and a little more focus on that, if we can get the people hired, which everybody's having a hard time with, we can then prioritize it and continue with that.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, we won't know. The jobs close on Thursday, and then we'll look at them in December and January. And last year we had half as many applicants as normal. And like I said, we had people selected, two that didn't show up in the recreation shop. So we try to strategize and start trying to hire even more, but that's where we need to do a better job outreaching to local communities, because I'd rather have people here that just come on for a few months than try and get somebody to move here, because housing and then, you know, what's being paid for a seasonal job doesn't work out very well. Yeah.
And that leads to the housing question. Are you seeing that as you're trying to staff your shop up fully, that you're having people you're sending offers to that are saying, yeah, I'd love to come here, but I can't find a place to live?
Yep. Yeah, seasonal's a lot more. Some of the permanent jobs, I mean, we definitely running into that. The range specialist we hired, well, he's from Sheridan, so luckily he's living at home with family while he's trying to get a place found here in Buffalo. And but we've had other people that can't come due to housing costs. And I mean, it's difficult everywhere. There's lots of big discussions in the Forest Service about how do we fix this and trying to address the housing concerns, especially for firefighters and that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's a difficult one for sure right now. I mean, the new rec person I've got hired, they haven't indicated to me that they've got a place found yet, so even if they start in 2 weeks, I'm not sure where they'll live yet. So.
We'll open it up now if there's any questions from the public or press for our Forest Ranger. We appreciate you making time to come see us, Dad, and we're glad that you're getting staffed up. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Switch gears now over to Cooperative Extension. So, Bryce, the two of you want to come up, and or just you, or?
Yeah, either way. Hey, just me or them, either way. Yeah, we have an agreement there. I don't know if I sent it over to Jody, the fiscal agreement. I guess my salary there at the extension office, since I'm the only employee that's dual employed by university and county. It's obviously university approved half, and then you guys see the half that they're requesting on your end of things there. But
Mr. Crago, in the past, we had the concerns over the agreement, whether it pertains to additional coverage for our, I guess, our new Dr. Horn. But that'll be all covered in our overall MOU for extension and how we provide basically the overhead for the position that Mike is in. But any of the past concerns that we've had with the extension agreement with this and how this works out for Bryce on the compensation side.
Mr. Chairman, what exactly is your question, I guess? And sorry, I'm not tracking.
Okay, the concerns that we've had in the past with extension don't typically bleed into this contract. They usually are in a couple of the other agreements that we have with UW to provide.
That's correct.
Extension. Yes,
this only applies to Bryce's salary. It's a one-page agreement, literally. It just says we're paying half of his salary. University's paying the other half plus the benefits.
And then in our MOU this year, we reworded it and revised it so that the annual is taken out of our MOU that we uphold with Fair Board. And that one is the one that really caused a lot of headaches for us yearly, and it had to be done yearly because of that verbiage. And I believe we had that changed this year before it was signed so that we don't have to continually do that.
I think our concerns on this one previous to this has been the benefits.
Yes.
So whatever one year that the pool goes out,
yes.
This year they're covered still by the university.
Correct.
And that's something you're going to have to keep an eye on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, if that stuff starts getting handed down, that stuff starts to change, I'll make sure you guys are, you know, in the loop. I'll make sure you guys have that information before that starts stemming down.
So, Mr. Trejo, you reviewed this short background. You don't have any issues with us going ahead and signing this?
Move to approve the UW contract with the county to pay half of Bryce's salary.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Certainly, Bryce, you're running an incredible program there. We have more kids per capita than any other county in the state. You partnered with the high school, and they have a shooting sports program. Now it's just well done.
Thank you. No, I tell you, it's a testament to the kids and the people we have. That's really what it boils down to. I just get to stand up there and say, okay, let's do this, let's do that, and then people make it happen. And so that's I'm pretty fortunate to be placed here doing this job. We ended the year with 326 kids. Of course, new 4-H year started October 1. Yesterday kicked off National 4-H Week. You'll see our banner downtown. You can see some decorations downtown as well. I think some kids snuck out last night and did some windows and some businesses. And we're hoping to get a banner going in KC so that we can try to hit the southern end of the state. I think Spurs and Lace were doing something in Claremont. So we'll be on the radio this week. It's exciting times in 4-H, but yes, sir.
Good, well, I hope we don't consider Southern Johns County the other side of the state.
Or, excuse me.
I don't
the other end of the county.
Like
the county, sorry.
All right. Well, we've got a motion and a second to approve this agreement. Is there any public comment on the county continuing agreement? We have a youth specialist where we pay half in the university. The Wyoming pays half, but also then covers benefits. Any questions or public comment? Hearing none. Commissioners, any further discussion before we vote on this agreement?
No.
All right. All those in favor of the agreement with the University of Wyoming, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Are you going to get paid for another year?
Thank you. Appreciate that. Can I get to keep working? Yes.
Excuse me.
We have Robin here too, in case you didn't see her sneak
in. I did. Robin, do you want to speak on behalf of public health and the request to waive the hire increase so you can replace your office manager?
Yes. Sorry, my regional manager tried to call in and had some technical difficulties apparently, so called me and had me rush over. So yes, we are looking to fill the position of office manager. It's already budgeted for annual. We just have that position open and would like to request to advertise to fill it.
commissioners, there's a request.
Well, I think it's a good idea, especially now with your office. I hear you're getting a baby over there.
Yes. Should be any minute now, actually. So I'm the only staff available right now. We did have an open nurse position that we filled, but she can't start until about the middle of November. And then Bill Holly's in our office, but he has lots of trainings and meetings, and so. Yeah.
I saw his name in the forums the other day, and I was over there. So I wasn't surprised that he was going to be here.
I moved away from hiring freeze, hiring freeze.
I think I better second that.
Right. There's a motion to waive the hiring freeze for the office manager position at the public health office. Is there any questions from the public or press about the vacancy over there? Somebody's car is concerned, but all right. We have a motion and a second, commissioners. Any further discussion on this? All right, is there all those in favor of approving to waive the hiring freeze for the office manager of public health, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Great, thank you. We will advertise starting today. We have it ready to go.
Ready to go. All right. Thanks, Robin.
You're
and
welcome.
If you want to advertise that on the county website, please get with Jody and she can get that posting up there for you as well.
Great, thank you.
You want to give a shout out about your flu shots?
Yes, so we have a Sheridan nurse coming over tomorrow. We have some spots left in the afternoon, and then next Wednesday, I believe that's the 12th, they'll be coming over once again, and then October 26th. So we're hoping that kind of gets us through our flu season until Kristen can come back and intermittently give some flu shots. So we'll give the Sheridan nurse some busy time while she's here and keep them going.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. Excuse me as I have to run back and...
We understand you have to keep the office open.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk, I believe you would like to request that the clerk's office be closed to non-election business on election day. Is that the case?
I would. We did have a couple people come into the parking lot for the primary that quarantined with COVID to vote. So in anticipation of that, and it's just really busy election day. So I would appreciate it if you'd let us close the office. We will continue to take the recording. We just don't do titles on that day, basically.
Commissioners, the clerk is requesting that on November 1 election, the general election day, that the office be closed to non-election business. What's your pleasure?
Move to approve.
Second. There is a motion and a second to close the clerk's office on November 1st to non-election business.
November the 8th.
November the 8th?
Yes. Yeah. I wish we, I I'm guess, could close the first two, but November the 8th.
November the 8th. Yeah. I was just looking right down on the calendar. Up first. It's that Tuesday, but we'll, how about the 8th? Okay. So there is a motion and a second. Any discussion on that?
Yeah, we've done this before and it's been working well.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, next up is vouchers. It looks like the clerk had a couple add-ons. Madam Clerk, do you want to just, anything of concern that we should look at?
The big amounts were from the airport grant for the parking reconstruction. Those were bills for the planning of that. And we have already received some of that money. So they did hold back payment until the money was actually there. The amount that's on the last page does include these add-ons. $364,000.
Does include the add-ons?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Okay.
And I'll get you an updated one.
I'm straight on that now.
Looks like the total amount of vouchers for the month are $364,919.77. Does that match everybody's?
Yes.
All right, is there a motion to approve the vouchers?
So moved.
Got a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the vouchers. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Before we take public comment, I do have one additional item, commissioners, that came in late yesterday afternoon, and that is under the last tab in your binders. The BLM is having to reopen the RMP for this area because of a judicial ruling, and so we have the option, of course, as they go through that review of the entire RMP, it's not a resource management plan, not a request for proposal, to use our cooperating agency status and participate in that, which I think is critical, so that we can ensure that activities like grazing and oil and gas and uranium production can continue in those areas. So, Mr. Craigle, this came over to you late. I do apologize because we didn't get it until about 2:30 yesterday, and I sent it on to you. I don't know if you've even had a chance to look at it.
I did.
Okay. Did you have any concerns with the...
No. I mean, other than they call our public records law the Sunshine Law, which is what they call it in most states.
Yeah.
It's fine. They have the right statutory reference. So.
So, I guess, commissioners, I would ask approval of this MOU so that we can serve as a cooperator in the process, which just means that I get to go to more meetings.
Move to approve
it.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. I second that.
I've got a couple for you, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right, there is a motion and a second, which would allow us then to receive any public comment or questions about our cooperating agency status with the BLM. Hearing none, all those in favor of signing the MOU with the Department of Interior, Bureau of Land Management, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, Madam Clerk, any additional business you need us to transact? I saw Mr. Ruby here, but I'm assuming he has stuff that can get covered in executive session or...
Yeah, we're just here to talk about pending litigation.
Okay. All right, so he doesn't have any additional business. Jody, anything on your side that came in late? Okay. As we've reached the end of our agenda, and there's no additional items for us to transact, that would bring us to a time of public comment. So we would open it up. Mr. Dorbus, come on up and please introduce yourself for the record for the clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Dorbus. Resident here at Buffalo, and I'm here representing myself as an individual resident of Johnson County and as a member of the Johnson County Cemetery District Board. It's actually with heavy heart that I am here today. The last week, I received a call from a commissioner asking for privileged information out of a personnel file, one of our staff members. I'm not here to name names. I don't want to point fingers. But I am here as a board member to say, with my president of the board behind me, enough is enough. I'm very confident that this board doesn't do that to other districts, and we expect to be treated the same. It's infuriating. And as a private citizen, I have to ask myself, who do I trust now? We've dealt with this for 5 years, what I only call cronyism, and at various levels of government in this community. And when I look across our nation and I see what's going on, the distrust of government and what that brings to a community, it's not a far step from distrusting government to distrusting law enforcement and what that brings. It's sad. It breaks my heart. You know, it's, like I said, I'm not here to, this is not my board. What you guys want to do with that information is up to you. But I implore you to act, even if it's just to speak up against this level of cronyism in our community. Because the anger it brings, the distrust it brings, it divides our community. We have a lot of new people here that have come and run away from that stuff in San Francisco and Washington, Seattle. They're here because that's what it turns into. And like I said, as a board member and as a private citizen, enough. Just enough. I've come to this board and talked to several of you, all of you at different times, for advice and consent. And again, I'm stuck now with who do I trust. And it's just disheartening. And I hope that you guys can work that out. And I would encourage you and implore you to gather other leaders within the community, formal and informal, and together speak with one voice and say enough. Enough. As elected officials, we have to support each other and not try to undermine the other elected officials. And we've dealt with that. And so I'm asking you, as the senior leaders within our county, do something, say something. Otherwise, our community, we're bound down the same road as Seattle and San Francisco. It's not a long step. We see it every day on the news. And, you know, it's infuriating and very sad at the same time. And so with that, I know you're busy, I'll let you go, but I just have to speak up when wrong is wrong. Thank you for your time.
Any further public comment? All right, hearing none, I would entertain a motion to enter into executive session pursuant to Wyoming statutes covering pending litigation.
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We'll move into executive session once we've cleared the chambers.